Good morning. Welcome to worship today as we gather once again here in God's house so that we can celebrate His name and be edified by His word. We gather today to celebrate the ninth Sunday after Pentecost, looking once again at how the Christian grows. Today we realize we grow by living in and among a sinful world. It's not always the most pleasant experience. Sometimes we grow together with the weeds, as our gospel lesson today says. But we strive and we struggle, and through that, we grow, both as Christians and in love for our Savior. We also, today, have a new mandate, as you all are aware. And I realize it's not the most pleasant thing for us to be able to say, I have to come and wear a mask during worship. I realize this is probably one of the most decisive things, divisive things that we have here in our state, in our country right now. But we have the opportunity to give glory to our God, have the opportunity to give glory by obeying whatever mandates we need to, even if we don't personally agree with them. I also would encourage everyone in good Christian love to understand that there may be circumstances for others we're not aware of, and so we do not judge, we do not enforce, we take the actions of our neighbors in the kindest possible way. So that is my encouragement for you as we do our best to be able to worship God even with restricted faces. We follow the order of service printed on page 5 of your worship bulletin. In the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, asking Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful and that I have disobeyed You in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve Your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given His only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by His authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Grant us, Lord, the Spirit to think and to do what is right, that we, who cannot do anything that is good without You, may by Your help be enabled to live according to Your will. Through Jesus Christ, Your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with You in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. We turn our attention to God's Holy Word appointed for us this ninth Sunday after Pentecost as we look at how we as Christians grow and realize that we have to give over to God what is His right. The ability to judge based upon faith, the heart, who believes and who does not. We will never know that. We will never be able to see faith because we cannot look within the heart. We don't know who believes and who does not. And so we leave that up to God. And so we also struggle here on this earth as we fight against a sin-corrupted world and we fight against the sin that is even within us. As we grow in our faith and in our service to our Savior. We turn our attention then to our first reading from Joel chapter 3, verses 12 to 16. Let the nations be roused. Let them advance into the valley of Jehoshaphat. For there I will sit to judge all the nations. Swing the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, trample the grapes, for the winepress is full, and the vats overflow, because their wickedness is so great. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and moon will be darkened, and the stars will stop shining. The Lord will roar from Zion and shout from Jerusalem. The sky and the earth will tremble, but the Lord will be a refuge for His people, a stronghold for the people of Israel. This is the word of our God. We join in the psalm of the day, Psalm 18. We will speak it responsively. I will take the first half of each verse. Ask the congregation to please join in the second. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. He reached down from on high and took hold of me. He brought me out into a spacious place. You, O Lord, keep my lamp burning. You save the humble. You give me your shield of victory. Glory be to the Father and to the Son. As it was in the beginning. Amen. Our second scripture lesson from Paul's letter to the Romans, today chapter 8, verses 26 and 27, we read, "In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we should pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that are not expressed in words. And He who searches our hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to God's will." This is the word of our Lord. Would you join together with me as we speak the words of the verse of the day? Alleluia! My word will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Alleluia. Please stand for the reading of the gospel. The gospel according to Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 through 30 and verses 36 through 43. Glory be to you, O Lord. We read, "He presented another parable to them. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while people were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the plants sprouted and produced heads of grain, the weeds also appeared. The servants of the owner came and said to him, 'Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where did the weeds come from?' He said to them, 'An enemy did this.' The servants asked him, 'Do you want us to go and gather up the weeds?' 'No,' he answered, 'because when you gather up the weeds, you might pull up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, first gather up the weeds, bind them in bundles and burn them. Then gather the wheat into my barn.' Then Jesus sent the people away and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, 'Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field.' He answered them, 'The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. The reapers are angels. Therefore, just as the weeds are gathered up and burned with fire, so it will be at the end of the world. The Son of Man will send out His angels, and they will pull out of His kingdom everything that causes sin and those who continue to break the law. The angels will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear." This is the gospel of the Lord. Upon hearing this gospel of our Lord, we have the opportunity now to confess our faith with the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through Him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, He came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake He was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day He rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and His kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, my dear brothers and sisters who live and work within Christ's harvest field. Any of you have the same problem? You go home, you find out that it hasn't taken very long, just a couple days. Your garden, your flower beds, maybe the mulch or the rocky part on the side or in front of your house. Next thing you know, it's just full of weeds. Seems like they come out of nowhere. Especially here in the summer, you can weed it out, and a couple days later, you got the exact same problem again. As the grass gets cut and blown in, as the birds carry seed, they drop them wherever they want. They don't have any respect. They'll do whatever they want to do. And what are you going to do? You really only have one alternative, don't you? You got to get out there on your hands and knees, and you've got to weed it. Get rid of whatever shouldn't be there so that it looks the way it should. Or maybe you're like me, and most of the time you say, I'll do it tomorrow. And it sits. In our parable today from Matthew's Gospel, Jesus talks about weeding. He talks about weeds, He talks about harvest, He talks about things that people at His day and age, and I'll be honest, I think people today too, really can understand. But of course, remember, again, it's a parable. It's not just some narrative, some story about a farmer. There is true meaning here. That's why Jesus always starts with, the kingdom of heaven is like. Because this is tying directly into our spiritual life. And we see weeds here. That's what Jesus is talking about. Weeds among the world that we live in. Which really begs the question now, because as much of a nuisance as weeds in our garden or flower beds may be, it's even more difficult to deal with the weeds of life. So what are we going to do about the weeds? Let's get our answer from Christ. He tells another parable. Like I said, it begins with, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. We have another blessing and benefit, much like last week, that Jesus explains this parable. We're not going to read His explanation, but you heard it already once, and we'll tie it in. I mean, Jesus comes right out and says that the field is the world. It's where we all live. It's our lives. And here, Jesus says that the owner of that field, God Himself, goes out into the world and He plants good seed. You'll notice that He specifically says it's good seed. God does not plant something that is bad. He doesn't plant something that is less than perfect. When God works, He works amazingly. And that's what He does. He comes and He sows good seed in His field because He wants a good harvest. But it doesn't always go so amazingly. In fact, it gets difficult, it gets hard, as you well know, because we don't live in a perfect world. We live in a sin-corrupted world. So what takes place next? It says, but while people were sleeping, His enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. His enemy comes. I have no idea who the enemy of this farmer was, or why they were even enemies. I don't know. Was it some feud long-standing? Some land rights that were never settled? Was it because he was jealous, because he was angry? We don't know, but it doesn't really in the end matter. Because we know what he does. In his anger, he comes and he plants bad seed. He sows weeds in among the wheat so that when they grow up, it's going to cause problems. It's going to make it difficult. And he does it simply because he wants to harass the farmer. God calls this enemy by name when it comes to his planting in this world. He says Satan is the one who comes and plants weeds among the wheat. Now, what does that even mean? Who are the weeds? Who are the wheat? Well, Jesus says, the wheat are believers. The wheat are those who have been touched by the grace of God through faith, that the Holy Spirit has taken those seeds that Christ has planted and has made them grow. But the weeds are those who by unbelief, by doubt, and by faithlessness cause complications and problems for God's word and God's will. They're the ones who have no regard for what it is that God has done, have no reason to believe it, want nothing to do with it, and so cause all kinds of problems. That's exactly what Satan the enemy wants. But you'll notice when he does it. You'll notice when he comes to plant the weeds. He doesn't do it in the daytime, he does it at night when he hopes no one will see. No one will catch on, because there's absolutely no doubt that the lies of Satan will never hold up under the light of God's word. They will be identified for what they are, for falsehoods and lies. I mean, he's the father of lies. That's all he can do, but he's really good at it. And so he comes in the midst of darkness, he plants doubts and unbelief in people's hearts, and he drives them to be opponents of the gospel and opponents of God's will. And so what's going to happen? As they grow up together, it will become apparent that not everything sowed in the world is good. Because it continues, it says, when the plants sprouted and produced heads of grain, the weeds also appeared. The servants of the owner came and said to him, "Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where did the weeds come from?" He said to them, "An enemy did this." We have to understand something. Jesus actually uses a specific word here for the weeds. He uses a word called zizanium, which is a special kind of weed. In case you get into your mind, well, how couldn't they tell the difference between wheat and weeds? It should be pretty obvious. Zizanium is a weed that looks exactly like wheat until the wheat sprouts a head. Because at that point, it's not this flowing head of grain. It's kind of a fungus-based poisonous sprout. It's pretty obvious at that point. But up until that, that head sprouts, you can't tell the difference. Jesus had a point in using that. We don't know who the weeds and the wheat are. We have no idea in this world. We cannot tell because we cannot see the heart. We cannot know who believes and who does not. God does, for sure, but we don't. We have no way of being able to tell. No way of knowing. And sometimes, even as we live among this world, we have difficulty identifying believers and unbelievers based upon their words and based upon their works. So what are we going to do with all these weeds? That's really the question in the end. How are we going to go about doing it? Jesus knows why they're there. He knows the work of Satan that is opposed to him. Because Satan at every single turn will do whatever he can to derail God's plan. So what do we do? Jesus answers those servants when they say, "Should we go and pull up all the weeds?" He says, "No, because when you gather up the weeds, you might pull up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, 'First gather up the weeds, bind them in bundles and burn them. Then gather the wheat into my barn.'" What are we going to do with all these weeds? You'll notice the fervent zeal of the servants. They're willing to go through his entire field and weed it. Can you imagine what that would take? To walk by hand through a field full of grain and to pull out all of the weeds, making sure you identify which one is which. They're willing to do the work. But at the same time, they're also wise enough not to just go out and do it, but to speak to the master first. "Is this what you want?" They get their answer. "No, that's not what I want. Because you might not be able to tell. Maybe the heads haven't fully formed on all of those stalks yet. You won't be able to know what is weed and what is wheat. And in the process of trying to get rid of the weeds, you very well may destroy the wheat too. Again, he's not talking about farming, is he? He's talking about people. You don't know who's faithful. You don't know who's a believer. You don't know who isn't. Don't go uprooting people because what appears to be a weed, what appears to be someone who has absolutely no faith or no need or no trust in God, by the end of their life, things may change completely. What was thought to be a weed may very well become wheat that produces an amazing, abundant harvest because, you know, God's Word works. It always works. And as long as we proclaim the gospel, that gospel seed can take root and grow, producing faith. So what do we do about all the weeds? I know what our knee-jerk reaction is, because it's the simplest for us. In fact, it's the easiest for us. It's the same thing that I would say about the weeds out front of the home. Get rid of them. Get down there, do the work, and pull them out. Throw them into the fire right away. Because then I don't have to look at it. Then I don't have to deal with it. It's hard to deal with a world that is so opposed to our faith, so opposed to Christian morals and value. And you very well know that we live in a world that doesn't exactly hold to God's word and will very well or very closely anymore. Is that easy? Or is that hard? Wouldn't it be easier if God would just come and send his angels now? Get rid of Satan, send him to hell, and uproot all these unbelievers, uproot all of this sin, get rid of the corruption right now, purify it all this very moment, because that would make my life a whole lot easier, and I wouldn't have to struggle. Yeah, that'd be the simplest for us. How much damage would it do? As we cut short people's time of grace, their opportunity to come to know their Savior and to be saved, because we know the end result. It's the result that God says will happen. He says, leave it until the end. At that time, it is easy to know the difference. What is weed and what is wheat? And my harvesters will know. Different place in the Bible, Jesus said that at the end, it will be as easy for him to separate believers and unbelievers as a shepherd separates sheep from goats. And if you can't imagine, that would be quite simple for someone trained in it. I think it's simple for anybody who's not. He will know the difference. His angels will come and they will be able to sift through what is and what is not. God will make that judgment as he sees the heart. And so what do we do about all those weeds now? We've already identified and realized that that's what we live in. We live in a sin-corrupted world and it's going to be hard. And so we bear it. We're willing to deal with it. We're willing to live with all of the negative repercussions of being sinners and being in a sinful world and being around people who are opposed to God's word and will. We'll deal with it. We'll take it because we want that gospel seed to work. To be able to be proclaimed. To be able to produce faith. I may someday, all right, probably not, go out and weed in front of my house. Yank them up and get rid of them. Or I'll send a kid out to do it, more likely. Because that's what needs to happen. They need to go. Pull it out by the root. Well, God looks at this world and he says, I want all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. I don't want you to uproot everything that may not show the fruits of faith just yet. Because maybe it's just a late bloomer. And you'll see it. Because I know it's there. And I want everyone to have that opportunity. So that when we gather together the wheat in the barn, it's full to the brim. So what are we going to do about all these weeds? Sometimes we just have to deal with it the way it is. Ask God for strength and continue to do the work that we have been given to proclaim the gospel throughout the world. Amen. Now may the peace of God that transcends all understanding keep our hearts and our minds focused on Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. I remind and encourage everyone, as we don't do often, that even though we don't have an offering in place in the service, those baskets are in the back for your convenience. If you have any questions, let me know. So we do continue with the prayer of the church. For that, we are going to be using, as a responsive prayer, the preparation for Holy Communion. It's a half sheet insert, should have been placed within your worship bulletin. We will use this and the prayer that follows as our prayer of the church today, followed by the Lord's Prayer. Again, that personal preparation for Holy Communion, that was an insert into your bulletin. We come before the Lord in prayer. What does God tell us about myself in His Holy Word? What should I do if I am not aware of my sins or am not troubled by them? When I realize that I have sinned against God and deserve His punishment, what should I do? How do I receive His gracious forgiveness? What further assurance do I have that Jesus is mine and I am His? How can I be sure that I receive all these blessings in the Lord's Supper? How will I respond to this priceless gift from Jesus? Lord Jesus, with joy and gratitude, I now come to your table to receive the precious food of your life-giving body and blood. May it strengthen me to remain in you as you remain in me, so that I bear much fruit in devoted service to you and in acts of kindness to others. Amen. We join together in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We continue our worship with the order for the sacrament. It is found on page 12 of your worship bulletin. It's at this time. I invite all of those who are members of this congregation or members of another Wells congregation in fellowship with us to come forward when the time is right. If you're not and you're interested in communing with us, I would be happy to speak with you after service. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord, our God. It is truly good and right that we should at all times and in all places give you thanks, O Lord. Holy Father, almighty and everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who promised that wherever two or three come together in His name, there He is with them, to shepherd His flock till He comes again in glory. Therefore, with all the saints on earth and hosts of heaven, we praise Your holy name and join their glorious song. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night He was betrayed, took bread. When He had given thanks, He broke it. He gave it to His disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is My body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." In the same way, after supper, He took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in My blood, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of Me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Please stand as we give thanks to our God. Page 15. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. We give thanks, Almighty God, that You have refreshed us with this holy supper. We pray that through it You will strengthen our faith in You and increase our love for one another. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with You in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. I thank you all for joining us in worship today. A special welcome to our visitors among us. We're glad that you decided to worship here at Christ. We had our vacation Bible school this last Thursday. Just to give you an update, we had about 40 children who enrolled, the majority of which were here. I would say, I have to look at my exact numbers, but I believe we had 37 who were present. That doesn't count the adults that stuck around and walked around with the kids also, splitting them into groups to keep our numbers in per session down. But it was a wonderful event. I'm at least I was happy with it. Hopefully our children enjoyed it too. I wish you all God's richest blessings until we see each other again.